You know, a community's access to broadband internet can bring about a lot of really good things. It can bring about better health care, more educational opportunities. It can be a stimulant for the economy. And our guests now are going to be talking about efforts to sort of close the digital divide that we actually have here in Wisconsin. Our guests, Mary Clues, who is the Community Development Outreach Specialist for UW Extension Broadband and E-Commerce Education Center. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Larry.
With us as well, Jennifer Smith. Jennifer is the Communications and E-Commerce Trainer for UW Extension Broadband and E-Commerce Education Center. And Jennifer, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks, Larry.
Really glad to have both of you here. And certainly we're going to be talking about and hope that you will join in as we talk about bringing broadband to maybe your area. How important is fast internet access to your business, for example, or to your community? We'd love to hear from you. So I hope you'll give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can go ahead and post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Certainly love to hear from you. And we hear the term broadband often used. Maybe we should get a definition of that. Mary, do you want to?
That's a great place to start, because I think broadband means fast internet, but that can mean different things to different people. And in general, it means that people have a fast enough connection that they can do with the internet what they need to get done.
Yeah.
And that generally that means that they also can use more than one device at one time. Some of us can remember back in the old days when we had devices that hooked us up to the phone lines and made a lot of noise, but we couldn't get on the phone while we were also using the internet. Well, the other piece is there's an official definition at the federal level. The Federal Communications Commission has set some standards, and right now how that's measured is in megabits per second for speed. There are some other considerations on what makes quality internet connection, but right now they've set the standard for speed at 25 megabits per second download and 3 megabits per second upload, meaning that if you want to send something out to someone else on the internet, you have at least 3 megabits per second speed.
And I'm wondering, how much of our state doesn't really have access to broadband? Jennifer, do you comment on that?
I can comment on that, although I'll probably hand it off to Mary to go into a little more depth. The basic answer to that is we're not really sure, and that goes for Wisconsin, but it also goes for a national level. And part of that is the speed that Mary is talking about, and part of that is the proprietary nature of the service maps that ISP or internet service providers hold. And so we have a rough estimate at a national level, and we extrapolate that out to Wisconsin level, and that's also supplemented by maps that the State Broadband Office at the Public Service Commission is hosting online. The caveat there, though, is that those maps are a little bit out of date. So,
yeah.
Mary, do you want to supplement that?
Just to say, on a national level, the estimate is around 10% of people really don't have a good enough connection. And like Jennifer said, for the state, people can check for their own neighborhoods by looking at the Public Service Commission maps, which give you some indication of what kind of speeds and how many providers are there. Because the other thing is people are also looking for some choice. So if they have more than one provider or not, it makes a big difference on what they have for options.
You know, Mike in Racine has something for us. Let's just go there and find out what's on Mike's mind. Thank you for calling.
Hi. You know, I'm an employee which has the opportunity on occasion to work remote from my corporate office, and I just want to impress upon if the discussion could cover this in some depth, is that there's a large number of salaried employees and or people that are willing to throw out the individual consultancies that they aren't in the what most of the broadband services or service providers call commercial area. They use residential. And residential broadband as opposed to commercial accounts. And I'll tell you, I personally, as I've looked at second homes and opportunities to move from my primary residence, is I've had to eliminate whole communities or even counties in the state of Wisconsin where I'm not going to look there because they cannot provide me both a robust as well as a adequate quality in broadband, which is required if I'm going to be able to work remote from the corporate office. And I think that can't be lost in the mix along with e-commerce, because e-commerce sometimes is a different animal than what I'm speaking of.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad you called, Mike. Mary, do you want to comment?
Just it aligns up with a lot of the experience I hear from many people across the state that there are many uses that we have for it. And some of the things that can help people understand, maybe your neighbors don't have a lot of demand for it, so a provider might look at the area as not needing a really fast connection. The thing is, what makes it work, how broadband development really works, is if we can boil it sort of down to three main elements. One is the internet service provider activity, and whatever level of activity they have and how the regulations affect them and how they're making their return on investment affects the infrastructure that they put out there in the world for the people to use. And you can think of this sort of as a flywheel that then impacts the customer experience, with which we just heard about.
Yeah.
But that customer experience comes back, and that customer activity will affect the internet service provider activity. How many people are willing to sign up along a road, or just what the perceived need is out in a community. So it's really important for people to let their voices be heard and tell more about the kind of activities that they use. But also, we want to bring some attention to that adoption piece, which is that consumer activity, that there's a lot of things that get in the way of people. Some people have a lot of problem with security concerns or their skill level. And so if you happen to want to live in an area where there's not a lot of skill on how to use the internet and what it could be used for, or, you know, real understanding of the benefits, then it can impact the neighbors around.
So those are probably the kinds of things you're attacking in the Broadband and E-Commerce Education Center, be my guess. Or maybe just talk about that center itself and what you're working on to sort of resolve some of the, you know, an issue like was just brought up. Jennifer, do you want to take a crack at part of that?
I do. Thank you. I'm glad that the question came up, and I want to shoot out a quick definition of how we look at e-commerce, because we look at it as a broader business online proposal, not specifically a transactional, you know, you have a store online and or you sell things on Etsy from home. We look at it as your basic business presence online. And so that's really one of the niches that we've been developing, because it's an educational area that obviously Extension has a lot of expertise in, and it addresses that adoption and utilization issue. We're looking at maybe businesses that are not online or not online in the way that maybe best serves them. And so that's one of the areas that we've been working in for about 4 years, is how do we help these businesses establish a smart, basic online presence, and hopefully then they decide how to make the best decisions for their business. Another area that we work on in the center is aging and aging in place, and helping seniors connect with technology in a way that helps them age in place. And really the connecting element here are low adoption groups. These are the groups that are in that 10 or 13% that are not online or not online as effectively as they could be.
And the other thing we do is work with those local communities. We are part of Cooperative Extension, so we work often hand-in-hand with the local educators in county offices where they have communities that want to better understand how this system works, to attract more investments, to help people utilize the internet they have to the best of their to the best outcome for their community, including profitable businesses, but also healthy people and opportunities for education, like you mentioned.
Are there, every county has a county extension office. How do people get in touch? Is it through a county office where a community gets in touch, or is there another way?
We work a lot with those local educators, but we also reach out to the communities in a lot of ways. Like in the past, we've done some broadband boot camps where we bring people in who have an interest in anybody. In the past, we had the last one in December, we had over 100 people there, and we had legislators, and just the whole system got together room to talk about, well, what do we do to move this ball down the field? Because people come at it from so many different angles depending on their interests. It can be the business interest or the community health and safety issue. But we want to help people understand that people in other sectors are also engaged and working on it, and the more we can do to help people use it better, just everyone wins when all of Wisconsin's online, as we like to say.
Yeah. And so the services that you offer are fairly broad.
Well,
as it relates to the topic, of course, but
though it's a I like to say it's another community development issue, and that's really where my specialist kind of line of work is, that people want to improve their communities all the time, and right now this is a really important issue for our communities across the state. That they want to, if they want to make a change, then how do they do that? And one way is, first of all, they have to start with raising awareness in their community. A second good step to take is to pull a coalition together that really pulls in all these different sectors from across the whole system in the community.
Yeah, I can see where, you know, you're an individual in a community and you're having problems, and they're probably your neighbor, your business might be having problems too, and then there's the online worker who's having problems, but they're all individually and they may not be talking together, and so it's a chance to kind of bring folks together. You know what? We're going to take a quick look at the news. Our guest today, Mary Clues, Community Development Outreach Specialist with UW Extension Broadband and E-Commerce Education Center, Jennifer Smith, Communications and E-Commerce Trainer. Back with them after the news. Talking about the effect of broadband internet access on communities and businesses, and as particularly it's a problem, I think, in rural areas of Wisconsin and, frankly, rural areas anywhere in the U.S. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Mary Clues, one of our guests, the Community Development Outreach Specialist at UW Extension Broadband and E-Commerce Education Center. Jennifer Smith is the Communications and E-Commerce Trainer for the UW Extension Broadband and E-Commerce Education Center. What would you like to know about bringing broadband to your area, or what experiences have you had? We'd love to hear some examples from around the state of maybe communities or rural areas who have been able to have some success, or maybe they're struggling with it and have some questions about it. Maybe you've attended one of the workshops that the Extension folks have held. What's going on in your community? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Love to hear from you. Clark in Lac des Flambeaux has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Clark. Thank you for calling. Clark, are you there? Oh, we must have, maybe we lost Clark. Well, I'll tell you what, he was wondering about how decisions are made as to where the stations are. And that's something that I expect is something you guys have no control over.
No, I guess, this is Mary, I guess really not. And I'm not entirely clear on what the stations mean. As far as where people might access it, it really depends a lot on the local providers. They're run mostly as private businesses. They make their business decisions, and it's also based somewhat in history on how telecommunications reach an area prior, because it was just about 100 years ago that we started putting telephones out there into all the parts of Wisconsin.
Dan in West Salem shot us a note. He's running a small business from his barely rural home. We have just, let's see.
I'll translate that, 768 kilobits per second at the house.
At the house, though he can look out his office window and see properties less than a mile away where 60 millibytes per second is available, and he's paying just about the same price as those folks, and he wonders if the Connect America Fund will help people in this situation.
Well, I certainly hope so. The Connect America Fund is a federal program that's encouraging coming through the Federal Communications Commission that encourages those existing local providers to expand service. They're in the process of building out. Anybody, I would really direct anyone with questions specific to how those projects are going to contact the Public Service Commission, State Broadband Office, Wisconsin Broadband Office. They really are the folks who are the agency. It's important to know who to call. And the people at that agency are the ones who have a little more of the inside information about how the building is going.
Okay. And again, repeat that location as where people should contact.
Sure. The agency is the Public Service Commission. There we have a Wisconsin Broadband Office. I don't have the email, but if you do happen to get any kind of internet access, if you can Google Public Service Commission State Broadband Office, should bring you a lot of information.
Andy is a town board supervisor from Freeman Township in Crawford County. And he's wondering what steps need to be taken to get broadband brought to his area.
Wow. Well, I know there's some active people down in that part of the state. There's a whole southwest part of the state does lack somewhat behind. These rural areas not only show how the access isn't there, but then there's generally a less willingness out in some of the rural areas. They tend to lag behind on the use of the internet that's there also. So one thing to do would be just to raise that awareness with neighbors and with understanding better exactly what the needs are of the constituents, pulling together a coalition to work together to say, you know, what can we learn about this issue so we can approach the right people and just learn about the technologies.
Yeah, Jennifer, you were going to add to that.
Sure. So this is one of the things that we hear a lot about through our boot camps when we have all the local stakeholders together in a room with the internet service providers, and we hear the service providers giving examples of some of the things that will help these situations. So, for example, like Mary said, getting together in a group, talking about it, taking surveys of your residents in the area, finding out who would subscribe to this service and what would they use it for, and do they telecommute, and do they run a business from home, and do they have kids at home who need to do homework, and those kinds of issues can let the providers know that there's a demand for adoption and there's a demand for utilization and there's a demand for a particular level of service. And so in Mary's example of the flywheel, the circle, knowing that adoption is there is a prompt for internet service providers to come in and build out that infrastructure, and that cycle keeps feeding itself through these kinds of actions.
And you brought up a good one there in education, because I hadn't even thought about that, but my daughter, she's a freshman in high school this year, and so much of the assignments and all the work is connected. It's got done on computer, and I expect in some areas it can't be done that way if there is, if there's problems with access.
And people are making accommodations. They're adjusting their schedules. The school districts are also very, very active, so it's a really good thing to loop them in when you're having any kind of community meeting to say, well, you know, what's going on in the school and where could we... Because I've heard of communities that are, like, for instance, outfitting their school buses with wireless internet so that while students are on the bus, they can get a little more homework done. I'm assuming they don't get car sick. But that's another little sidebar, I guess, that we don't have to worry about. But there are some really good stories, like up in Iron County, this Jennifer mentioned that the surveying thing. Iron County did a pretty robust survey of homeowners and landowners, because they have a lot of seasonal residents up there also, and they learned a lot more about people's needs, that what they would use it for if they actually had it, and how many more businesses might be started, and how many more weeks people might stay at their seasonal homes. So it was an educational effort to so let the local officials would know, but also they could take that information to providers and say, this is the need that we have in our community.
So, and so, Andy, I hope you got some ideas from that. And Jennifer, if you know, somebody like Andy is interested in, maybe at some point I could use some more consulting help here. Is that provided through the center?
Well, it depends on what you're looking on consulting for. Certainly with the e-commerce projects that we're doing, we work in conjunction with local extension educators to connect with businesses in those communities and do some of that training. We, as Mary said, we really focus on the adoption and the utilization piece. And so if people are looking for that kind of service, we will work to the best of our capacity. We're a three-person outfit that covers the whole state, so it gets a bit...
But you know who to get a hold of.
Sure.
Within any particular area, you say, okay, well, here's the person to call. We can't handle that, but this agency or this group is working on that and can help out.
Yeah, and I think that goes to the whole topic of whether you're looking at broadband access or adoption or utilization, that there's no one way into this. And
sure.
That there's really a lot of partnership and collaboration that has to happen inside Extension and also public-private partnerships.
Well, I think, and that survey idea is a really good one. And the community, you know, in, let's say, Crawford County or anywhere else, the resource development agent can probably even help with the survey and putting a survey together. That would be helpful.
They often do. And I'll say, in Iron County, they realized from the start that there's an educational component to this, that they had to educate some of their local officials about the need. They also understood that the public needed to raise their awareness, and because not everyone is signing up. I mean, there's providers that you would think that a lot of people think, well, I just use it all the time. So if they put it out on our street, everybody would sign up. Well, they're finding that often the subscription rates are less than 30%. And that's a big surprise to some people that they can do a new build out and only they're lucky to have 30% of the people. So I just know of other, even in other states where they've done some development, they will do like community or like neighborhood campaigns to say, did you hear it's coming? Sign up so that we can all be served together.
Yeah. Mark in Franklin, thanks for waiting, Mark. What's on your mind?
Hi. I think that besides availability, it's the affordability. It really limits how many people can be on the internet. I'm in southeastern Wisconsin. We've got multiple providers, but surprisingly, they cost exactly the same, and it's expensive. They try and make you bundle cable because they know if I just had Wi-Fi, I could get all the cable access over the internet, and I wouldn't need their cable. Maybe we need something like the Public Service Commission for internet access, like we've got for gas and electric, that will set rates and make these companies provide content, give us what we need. This is no longer just something for kids, for students. Everybody that has it uses it, and they use it for communications, social media, you name it. I was online today. I bought multiple things, spent several hundred dollars online, but that I wouldn't have spent if I wasn't able to do it because I would have been driving all around looking for it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to add on that because you brought up a barrier, which is affordability. And if you look at that piece of the puzzle to say that what's driving consumer activity, affordability is certainly a piece of it. Other barriers are the skills that people have if they've never used a mouse before or they, you know, a touch screen is actually a relatively new thing.
Yeah.
To have an interactive surface. If you're over a certain age, that's just a really novel concept if you haven't experienced it in your work life, say. So whatever we can do to help people get over those barriers would be helpful.
Yeah, it's good points, Mark. Thank you. John in Bloomer, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Hey, Larry. I'm up here in Bloomer, Wisconsin, Chippewa County. I'm proud to say that our privately owned local telephone company, the Bloomer Telephone Company, this was back like 10 or 12 years ago, put fiber optic to every single home of every subscriber in their prefix. And it didn't cost the subscribers anything. They undertook the project under their own capital. And today they offer a high speed all the way up to way over 100 megabits per second if you want it, and TV and other services as well.
And that's in Bloomer, John.
Yes. And it's brought a lot of business to our area because of the ability to have reliable, high-speed data that's available.
Yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Mary?
It does. We're really finding that it's once people have the access and they understand how it can benefit their lives, that they some of them need a little extra push to understand that, but then it can be a real economic driver, which is like, for instance, our friends in Iron County, that's why they're driving it in many, many other places.
Yeah. Jennifer, you were going to add.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons that we've had some success in partnering with internet service providers, for example, the e-commerce trainings with the small businesses, because they understand. It's like when electricity was first implemented and there was education around how to use the electricity. So it's the same principle. And in fact, Extension was one of the organizations running that. So it seems appropriate 100 years later, here we are again. But we do partner with ISPs because they do see that driving that adoption and that better utilization also drives the infrastructure.
Well, yeah, and for the private phone company, they put in the fiber optics, but now I'm sure they're benefiting from all the extra business that's being developed, as John was talking about.
And I would think they'd be very interested in a high subscription rate because they are going to have a return on their investment that they want to see. It is part of the historical landscape that we have, depending on how those companies are responding.
Yeah. Thanks again, John. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And let's go to Gary in Augusta next. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Larry. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I just wanted to bring out a point. Is a lot of professional people live out in the country. My wife is a healthcare professional. Her company provided her department with laptop computers, expecting them to work at home. They closed all their office space available to them as a cost-cutting maneuver, which I don't know if it's working or not. But unfortunately, at our home, we're in rural western Wisconsin, and our internet is so slow that she cannot sync her computer with the main system without driving 7 miles into town. And so, and we are totally dependent on the weather. You know, in bad weather, you lose satellite service. And what I don't understand is it's only about 9 miles between Osseo and Augusta, where we live, that they couldn't string a line there and get hardwired so we can get a higher speed. And I'm also wondering, is there a limitation on this 3 megabyte upload system? And the other thing I'll throw in there is the cost. And we're paying better than $120 a month. And my phone is more reliable than the internet system that's happening. We keep getting, come-ons from HughesNet and Exceed and others, but I don't see any difference in any of the systems. Is this something that can be rectified here? We do have a lot of public dependency on people who live out in rural communities, and I think it's been ignored. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Mary, do you want to comment on that?
Well, it's hard to explain away the disparities that we find for access. And I just encourage people to let their local representatives know, because the state is investing in some. I mean, we're finding that there's a lot of headlines about the grants that are programs that are out there and the awards that are made, but the need is still quite great. And it's frustrating to not have an answer, let me put it that way. But there's a lot of education that can be done about, well, why are we in the space where we are and what can we do about it? But we really can't do anything about it unless we're doing it together. So again, I would encourage folks to connect with others in their neighborhoods and their local officials and take it up the line to keep the awareness raised of those folks who have some energy about it.
Yeah. Jennifer?
I really want to reiterate that, because we've really seen that letting your legislators know or your local officials know and connect those dots for them about how that has an economic impact really is a driver for increasing, for example, the broadband expansion grants amount in total, and that it really does make an impact when you let these folks know and connect the dots. So the caller whose wife is expected to work from home, that's a huge economic driver.
Don in Door County has something for us. Hi, Don.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the show. The elephant in the room here is the state's inability to allow, or the I guess it's illegal to allow municipal or county-owned broadband providers. Chattanooga, Tennessee, put in a pretty big system. And they've, you know, gone to town, like the gentleman from northern Wisconsin, you know, spoke about with fiber optics. But right now there's $642 million that came out of our universal service fee on everybody's phone bill that is subsidizing four major telecoms in Wisconsin from now, excuse me, until 2020 to expand rural broadband in Wisconsin. But because municipalities can't own broadband provider service, they you know, don't get any of that money that we're subsidizing the big telecoms with.
Yeah, and because we're getting close to time, I think we've got the nature of your question here, Don. I want to give Mary, do you want to comment?
Sure, and I'll say what I'm hearing there is that this is really the reason why we keep doing some policy education, that people need to understand how policies made at various levels in your government affect your life. It's something I think that's just basic, really like civics 101 that we need to keep stressing for folks, that to understand how these things affect your life and to let your voice be heard, to also... I'm a little hesitant to address, because it's trying to explain law over the radio would mm-hmm. not be the best thing. But there are some limitations on municipal systems. It's not illegal, but
it's a major hurdle.
There are some definite things that need to get done for any municipality to think about doing it. And generally, the ones that are concentrated enough populations have some service already. So yeah. we need to understand and discuss it as a society. Is it a utility? Is it, how are we using this in our lives these days?
And just very briefly, on our website, broadband.uwex.edu, you can find a policy guide that Mary's put together. And this actually addresses questions from a number of different listeners about how community members have come together to work on various issues in their community. Each community's issue is different. Each community's need is different. But the policy guide gives really very specific examples of how communities have come together to address some of the issues, including municipal broadband questions.
Yeah, and what's that site again? And we have it up on our Facebook page, I'm pretty sure. But what's the site again?
It's broadband.uwex.edu. And right now you can find it under
resources.
Resources, thank you, called the Policy Guide.
Well, I'm sure there are going to be some people that are going to be taking a look at that site. And again, if you didn't get it down, go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You don't have to be a member of Facebook to get on it. And you can get a link to that particular site. Mary and Jennifer, thank you both so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
Glad to be here.
Mary Clues and Jennifer Smith, associated with the Community Development Outreach of the UW Extension Broadband and E-Commerce Education Center. And I hope you will follow up. We heard some great questions and comments, and I hope we get some follow-up on it. Garden Talk tomorrow, we'll be taking a look at trees and how they've been doing. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store.